Hello, everyone, and welcome to UGA Sports Live. I am Dane Young, along with Jake Roos and Jim Donnan. Ronnie Nabulsi is out this week to parts unknown, I think, as they say. Maybe his Twitter profile handle would agree with the parts unknown piece of that. We are brought to you by Athens Full. Your Pie, DR Construction and Maintenance, Academia Brewing Company, Classic City Eats, Aaron Overhead Doors as well. But I do want to mention before we get going with this, guys, UGASports.com right now, we have a 50% off promo code for new subscribers to the site. For first-year subscribers, you can get 50% off. That's on Scoop, that's on recruiting, that's on analysis from us. We won't give you Jim Donnan's phone number, but we'll do everything shy of that. And you can join UGASports.com. It's promo code Georgia50, GEORGIA50, and that is valid until April 18th. So make sure you get to UGASports.com and check that out. And over there, you can find the writings of Jake Roos.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to work in the spelled Georgia cheer there, Dane. That was nice. We want to start today off. Obviously, we're going to get into some spring game talk. I think that's what everybody wants to talk to. We'll talk a little bit about the second scrimmage as well. But we had a really popular segment a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to kind of do some revisiting of that. And that was a positional breakdown. We did that for the defensive backs, kind of went through each guy, touched on them, and let Coach kind of share his opinions, where these guys kind of fit into the rotation. We talked a little bit about the recruiting. Today, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to switch it up, and we're going to go look at the wide receiver position, because I know a lot of people are concerned after the George Pickens injury, how this room ends up shaking out. I'll be honest with you, Dane blew my mind in telling me that there were 11 guys that we have to talk about today. I don't know why I didn't know that. I should have known that, but that's not including walk-ons either, by the way.
That's one walk-on included.
One walk-on. So 10 scholarship receivers to discuss today. A plethora of talent out there, but not a lot of experience. Kind of a mixed bag when it comes to that. So, Coach, we'll kind of start it off. I'll break down kind of who these guys were back in the day in high school. I'll throw it to you, and you kind of tell me, you know, how it looks like it's shaping up for them in your opinion. Sound good?
Yeah, let's just do one at a time. My memory's not good, so let's go.
All right.
Let me start off this discussion real fast by just mentioning that we did report on UGASports.com that George Pickens did have surgery to repair his ACL last week. It went fine. It was done by Dr. James Andrews and his team over in Alabama. He's also got a spot in Pensacola. But that recovery is underway. That's all we know about that. That's a big piece of this discussion, though, is that George Pickens, not something you can rely on based on the health of his knee. And so here are the other guys.
All right. Yeah. So in looking at the guys here, the guy who kind of catches my eye first off, the most experienced, I guess, just in terms of length of time he's been around, Kyaris Jackson kind of leading the way there, Coach. I think everybody probably remembers that recruitment. I remember it very well, just because he had such a cool commitment ceremony. He drove in from the end of his neighborhood out the top of the thing with the Georgia Fight Song blast, and he was wearing the G shirt. It was a huge party down there in Fort Valley. But out of Peach County High School, if you've watched this show long enough, you know I have a soft spot in my heart for Peach County kids, because I think they are just some of the toughest dudes on earth. Chad Campbell is a beast when it comes to coaching those dudes up, just tough as nails down there in that program. And they're putting players out every year. So great program that he comes from. A four-star guy, 172nd in the nation in the 2017 class. And a guy who I think has pretty amply lived up to his expectations, honestly. I think that he's been able to fill in a number of ways, has done a lot of the things that we expected he would do. He's a willing blocker when he needs to be. He's a guy who can get out there and go up and get it. He's a lot stronger, I think, than people give him credit for. So Kyaris Jackson, a star coming out of high school and a guy who's been a really valuable piece of this Georgia offense over the last couple of years. Coach?
Yeah, the one thing about Kyaris is that his first year he was injured some, hurt his hand. I think it was against Vanderbilt. And it just kind of limited his play. And he was going out there with Godwin and Ridley and Hardman. And so he really didn't get a lot of focus there because of that. He did some good special team stuff. And he continues to be really a stalwart there, coverage-wise, blocking, but really showed some good ability last year when Blaylock went down, being the punt returner, because he's fearless catching them, and he almost broke a couple. The thing about football, without getting too technical, when you go 3-by-1, that means you have a wide receiver to the boundary, 3 to the field, among which one might be a tight end, a slot, and a flanker or Z-back. In college football, where the hash marks are, you know, a lot closer to the sideline, it's very difficult to throw the ball to the Z, the outside guy, consistently outside, because it takes such a long throw. Whereas in the pros, where you have condensed hash marks, you know, everything's in the middle of the field all the time. You know what I mean? Basically, if it's on a left hash, it's still in the middle, right hash. So, and he plays a Z position. So when it's 3-by-1, he doesn't get a lot of balls out there. He does a lot of blocking. But when they go to 2-by-2, then he becomes the inside receiver, and he runs some really good crossing routes, some middle read routes, and he runs some good post corner routes where he can go in and threaten the post and run to the boundary. And he's made a lot of good catches like that in the Auburn game. He had 10 receptions. I look for him to have a big year with the picking situation. He's a veteran guy, and he's a guy you can count on. Blocking, he's not quite as big as Burton or Rosemary, but he has the physical talent to go and do a lot of things.
Kyaris Jackson, 6 foot, 200 pounds. He is a junior, which is important to point out that among these 11 receivers that we're talking about, there are 2 juniors and 1 senior. It is a young group of wide receivers, even with the amount of talent that is there. And I think that's important to note. Jake, next, let's kick it over to Dominic Blaylock, 6'1", 205 pounds from Marietta.
Yeah, out of Walton High School, a guy who just a dynamic receiver in high school. You know, not the biggest guy, 6 foot, 192, like you said, number 55 in the class, though, and a guy that really came in as part of that 2017 class, locked it down, never really entertained any other schools, never took any other visits. You just hated to see how things have gone for him so far. When he's had an opportunity to be on the field, he's been very productive, done a lot of the things that he was able to do in high school, flash that incredible speed, solid hands, but obviously has dealt with a couple of knee injuries here over the course of the last year and a half. That's really limited his production. But I think, you know, this year sounds like reports are good. Everything sounds like it's on track to get where it needs to be. Hopefully he can return to form and become another weapon that Georgia needs in this offense.
Yeah, when you talk about a knee injury, certainly ACL is something that really takes a lot away from you. But then you have the same injury to the same leg again, then, you know, that makes it even more difficult. But he's a very diligent worker. I've seen him over in the training room a lot of times. That's his dad calling me to ask me how he's doing. You know, he's just really the kind of guy that's going to, if he's physically and mentally capable, he will be there. You know, I'm just saying, he wants it that badly. It's big for him to play for Georgia. As you mentioned, he came out of the box really strong and played exceptional football as a freshman. Every target he had, he caught every ball. He didn't drop one pass the whole year, thanks to listening to Brent Rollins' report, but he didn't drop one. So that's money in the bank, and he can catch punts too. That should be a real strength of our team this year, the fact that he not only can catch them, he can return them. And you're going to have a lot of competition for that position. But he gives you a veteran guy that you know is going to make the plays that are there, maybe not be quite as explosive as you want him to be, but he could come back and do that. So we need him very, very much for the leadership and for the example he sets. You can't have a better guy on your team on or off the field than Dominic Blaylock.
Another guy that had a stellar freshman season, Jermaine Burton, a sophomore from Calabasas, California.
Well, Calabasas, California is one place he's from. Bradenton, Florida is another place he's from. And he's originally from Marietta, Georgia, or Marietta, I think. No, he's from Hapeville. So he's from Marietta as well, though. He's a guy who hopped around a lot during high school, played in a number of different programs. Obviously, like you said, ended up in Calabasas for his senior year. Was a longtime LSU commit. I think a lot of people probably forget that, but a guy who kind of brought it down to the signing day, ended up flipping over. Number 127 in the nation, 6'2", 195, we had him at the time, was committed to LSU for almost 8 months. And I remember speaking to him over at the opening. He said, "Georgia's never given up on me. You know, they continue to push." Obviously, that ended up kind of playing itself out. He took a last-minute secret visit, ended up flipping his commitment. A lot of drama there right around signing day. But Jermaine Burton, I think, more than has delivered on his expectations, even as a freshman, a guy who's come in and, you know, one of those Terrence Edwards proteges. Coach, you may know a little something about that trainer as well.
Yeah, Terrence was telling me about him a couple years ago when I was over at practice and had a chance to be with Terrence and Robert. That's always a good moment for me, seeing those guys and, you know, watching their kids grow up. And Robert's done a good job in coaching, and Terrence is doing some things off the field, training kids. And I heard that he's going to actually be coaching more this year. But getting back to Burton, I remember Coley and Hankton telling me that they were working that kid hard, and that they were trying to sell him that those LSU coaches are going to go with those Louisiana boys when it gets down to it, throwing the ball to them. And we really did a good job at flipping him around, and I'm glad we did. And he had a little bit of a slow start here last year, didn't have spring practice, didn't have, you know, much of the summer work. And that's tough when you got a new offense. But, you know, he blossomed as the year got continued. He's just an explosive guy that can play multiple positions. One of the things we got now after the teaching is involved, we can have guys line up in multiple positions, not just one. You know, when you're installing an offense early on and you don't get all that, Monk and Hankton just had to put those guys at one position. But unfortunately, after he was moved to the X position, which is the weak side or the one receiver side, the next day he hyperextended his knee. But it's not, you know, certainly worries you, but it's not something that's going to keep him from doing everything from now on. And he probably could go on out there, but I'm sure with the picking situation, they're going to really protect him. He can walk in any room in the country and play. Very explosive guy, good hands, and very competitive guy. Really, you know, kind of nasty, like as far as getting in your face, getting after it. And he right now is the number one key for our passing game with the wide receivers from my standpoint, as far as experience, talent, everything he's got that he presents to the defense. I think JT Daniels will probably take good care of him this summer, taking him out to eat and everything.
Yeah, you stole my question right away from me. I was going to say, do you expect him to kind of be wide receiver one going into this season? And I do think that I agree with you, Coach.
Yeah, just because of – not that he's the more favorite guy or anything like that, but usually your best guys is a split end, you know, because he can – people designate two guys on him, hopefully. And if they don't, he can make you pay. So he's got that kind of ability, and we can certainly – if we'll go into these other guys that can play that position too, but he's the number one guy right now.
I think the guy behind him would be Marcus Roseme Jack Saint, a 6'2", 195-pound sophomore from Pompano Beach, Florida.
Yeah, St. Thomas Aquinas kid, one of those heralded programs down there in South Florida, just loaded with talent year in and year out. Former Miami great, as well as I believe NFL Hall of Famer at this point, Jason Taylor, on that coaching staff down there at Aquinas. So a lot to like about what they do with that program. Came in, you know, a commitment over the summer of 2019, 2019, a guy that a lot of schools really wanted. And I'll tell you this, going back to his high school days and having a chance to see him in person in multiple settings, one of the things I always said about this kid, not the fastest guy, but a guy who is outstanding with his hands and a willing blocker. He's got that great frame, and he knows how to get himself open. That's the thing. He's not necessarily going to burn you with the speed, but he's a good route runner and a guy who's able to create space for himself. I think that you got to see some flashes of that prior to injury last year. I am looking for a big outcoming or a big coming out for Roseme Jack Saint now that he's healed.
Yeah, I mean, just a terrible injury to happen, not only for the young man, but for our team when we really needed him. You know, in that game against Florida with Pickens not playing, and he was really off to a good start. But the thing about this guy, it's one of that makes it a little easier for me to talk about, because our fans can, or patrons, we'll be on the Masters, our patrons can visualize. He's a lot like Riley Ridley. You know, I mean, he's just a very solid guy that can do so many things. Maybe not burn you, but just sneaky quick, but a very elusive guy at the line of scrimmage, can get open. There's certain techniques that guys have that just always seem to be where they're supposed to be. This is what this young man possesses. As you mentioned, comes from a top-notch program, got really ultra coaching down there. And I'm excited about him because it's just always good as a quarterback or as a quarterback coach or as an offensive coordinator to know that you can dial things up and they're going to work with the guy. You know what I'm saying? You can hope they're going to work and all that, but it really makes you feel good. If I'm going to go to this guy, it's pretty good chance he's going to be where he's supposed to be and he's going to catch the ball. So I'm happy with him. And I know that if we had maybe one or two more weeks of spring practice, I feel like he could probably go out there and do pretty much anything. But I really believe that Ron Corson and his staff and Kirby, along with Munkin and Hankton, feel like that it's not worth 5 or 6 days just to see what he can do as compared to let him keep on the rest of the summer and be ready to go. I was a very smart move. But for our fans, he is ready right now. It's just a case of being ultra protective and make sure we're not playing a game till September. There's no need to try to show what he can do in G-Day.
I mentioned there was one senior wide receiver on the roster, and that's Demetrius Robertson, 6 foot, 190 pounds, senior from Savannah by way of Cal.
Yeah, I think probably anybody who was following recruiting back during that time remembers the Demetrius Robertson saga. We had to track that young man all over the state of Georgia pretty much. I went and saw him at track meets, at least two track meets, a basketball game. Just all over the place. And then it all came down to that announcement of the College Football Hall of Fame, where he very famously revealed that upside down Cal picture. I think what always stands out to me. But obviously a guy coming out of high school that we thought was one of the top players in America, number 8 nationally is where we had Demetrius Robertson. And we based a lot of that off of sheer athleticism. This seemed like a guy who could play either side of the ball if he wanted to, but had the elite speed to play on the wide receiver spot. I think a guy that we had a chance to see multiple times in camp. Obviously his career has not necessarily played out that way, but you feel good that he came back, I think, for this extra year. Brings a lot of experience to the team. A guy who clearly wanted to be at Georgia as well. You know, obviously there wasn't a lot of consternation about where he was going to land when the Cal transfer happened. Kind of made that seamlessly and smooth. And so Demetrius Robertson, I look for him to, you know, be able to contribute this year. I'm not sure that I rely on him as a number one, number two target, but a guy who's going to be able to get out there and just burn them down the routes. And so you got to think that that's going to be good for them. And like you said, some experience in that room, always a benefit.
Well, here's the thing about this young man. He's got a very good way about him. He's kind of low key. He's very talented. There's no question about it. He recruited on a maximum basis around the country. So you know, a lot of times guys their last year jump out there and just jump up and bite you. We know we got some deep threats with him, and we'll talk about Arian Smith in a second. But one of the things we got with this quarterback situation now, including Beck and Vandergriff and Bennett can throw it deep, is we're able to threaten the middle of the field with guys like Robertson and Arian Smith and Blaylock. So anytime you get a lot of coverage in the boundary, you can do that. So I just feel like he deserves a chance to really show what he can do, and he'll get it. And he deserves, from my standpoint, some good things to happen to him, because he's been a good team guy and really kind of just – been around, and you've seen guys their senior year jump up and do things. And he's good to have in the room. He knows how to play all the positions. He can return kicks. He can cover kicks. And I'm glad he's here.
He had a strong freshman year, Coach. I was going to ask you. He had a strong freshman year at Cal. People kind of put those expectations on him. What do you think kind of limited him kind of coming in, and what was the learning curve like coming to Georgia after doing what he did at Cal?
Well, you're playing against flag football out there. I mean, that way they play their corners, and, you know, they don't play the press coverage. And you know, I'm just saying they don't play near the physicality-type defenses that we see in this league. And he got beat up a little bit with it. He wasn't that big. Excuse me, he got beaten up. I got to get better English, but I know I'm with you as an English teacher. But he couldn't get off the line here, even in spring practice with these guys. So he had to make an adjustment there. He just couldn't line up and run down the field and catch nine routes, you know, deep ball. So he's adjusted that, and he's done better in the weight room. He's not a real big, strong guy, but I think that was the number one thing, just adjusting from a different style, you know, from the defenses we see in this league, because people got to support the run so much more. I mean, it's not the passing league, but it's turned into a lot more passing, that's for sure.
We've got six more receivers to go, but if you want to adjust your car situation, there's no better place to do that than Athens Ford over on Atlanta Highway. I'm looking at their new vehicles right now, the 2021 Ford EcoSport. Man, that's a sporty little thing, especially if you're wanting to get a little more economy out of your fuel situation. The 2020 Ford Escape is a great car. Man, you can just scroll and scroll and scroll. What I love about Athens Ford is they have that lifetime powertrain warranty. They've got a student discount, a military discount. They will work with you, whether it's a new car or a used car, to fit the needs that you have. If you can get out to their showroom and their lot on Atlanta Highway, you will be stunned by the amount of inventory they have and the quality of vehicles they have out there. If you can't make it there, you can Zoom with them. They'll show you around everything. You can email, chat, text. Any way you want to get in contact with Athens Ford, they will get you in the vehicle that serves your needs best. All right, guys, let's move on to a pair of redshirt freshmen. Arian Smith, Coach, you had mentioned him. Jake, a speedster from Bradley, Florida.
Woo! No question. Speed, speed, speed. Arian Smith. I think a lot of people forget about Arian Smith, and I tried to remind you guys all the time. Ran in those under 18 Pan Am games alongside Georgia track star Matt Bowling. So a guy who was able to hold his own on that 4x1 team. Pretty strong indicator of how fast that kid is. Out of Lakeland, Florida, like you said, another high profile program down there in South Florida. Signing day commit, number 148 in the nation. Not exactly the biggest guy on earth, no doubt about that. But when it comes to fast, I don't know that there are many guys faster in this league. And especially with Anthony Schwartz moving on now, I think Arian Smith may have taken up the mantle. I'm not going to give it to him just yet, but he would probably be definitely in my top three when it comes to SEC speedsters. Coach, what do you think on Arian Smith? Can he capitalize on some infrequent but very effective performances last year?
You know, he got a knee injury last year and just got behind the eight ball and didn't get to play any. And we were just, you know, trying to win games, and it's hard to get ready and get in there. But I'm telling you, another comparison I'd make, I would make this to Miko Hardeman, just from a standpoint, pure blazing speed, not the wiggle that Miko has, but he has a lot more going into his career training to be a receiver than Miko. You know, he played quarterback in high school, defensive back. It was a question what he's going to play at Georgia. He had to learn how to be a receiver and use hand positions and run routes and get off the line. This kid already knows how to do that. So he's ahead of the game there. I'm not saying that he's going to be drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round and all that like Miko, but I'm saying comparatively speaking, straight ahead speed, ball skills, things like that, he's ahead of maybe straight ahead speed, just real close. I mean, it's a gnat's ass between their speed, but he can really get open and he can run the shallow routes, which I like to see a fast guy be able to do as a coach. You know, there's one thing, you know, Bob Hayes can line up and run 90 miles an hour down the field for the Dallas Cowboys, and Roger Staubach could throw it up there and he'd go get it. But you had to get open too, run across the middle, do all those other things. And this guy can do that. We can line him up in the slot. He can line up in a lot of different positions. He'll be great on the bubble screens. He'll be good on the reverses. That's another thing I mentioned, that just the fact that we ran so many reverses last year with Burton shows you how they feel about him with the ball in his hand, because that's a way to get the ball to a guy without having to worry about throw a pass to him. You know what I'm saying? Because you can call a route and he get double covered. You got to get those guys touches. You can get touches to Smith and Burton with jet sweeps, bubble screens, tunnels, things like that. I'm high on Smith. I'm high on his route running, and I think he got a little bit of a bummer there. We hurt his wrist last week. And, you know, anytime you got a protective type brace on, it's hard to catch the ball. But he'll be in the spring game, and we probably won't see him catch as many as he would if he had the brace. I don't know if he'll have a brace or not, but I'm just telling you now that that's two pretty good young receivers to talk about that have already played in Burton and Smith. And you know, Marcus coming in there with played a little bit, and he'll be the same. So that's a good recruiting class of receivers there, those three guys.
Yeah, not bad. I wanted to ask you too, Coach. You mentioned, you know, that he was banged up a little bit, but like I said, pretty effective when he had opportunities. How much does that matter for coaches and to quarterbacks, especially that you know that this guy, he's not always out on the field, but when he was out there, he pretty much made his presence felt every time.
It's huge. I mean, if I'm the quarterback and it's a clutch situation and I know I got to stay on the field, I'm going to Pickens. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to Jackson. They've proven they've done it. And now, you know, Pickens isn't there. Burton's there. Smith ran down the gash and did a great job against South Carolina and was open, and did the same thing against Cincinnati and was open a couple other times. But I think what we're going to see more with Todd Monken's offense is the more that we're able to run the ball like I know our line's going to help us do, we're going to see an inordinate amount of guys with blinker lights on with play action passes, whether it's Fitzpatrick, Washington, Bowers, crossing routes, same thing, Drew, fake the toss sweep, throw one of these guys on a bend out. I mean, it's just going to be some easy pickings throwing the ball on running downs, I think, this year. I mean, I'm not going out on a limb on that. I really feel like our play action passing is going to be among the best in the country.
Easy pickings, no pun intended.
Yeah, I heard that too. You can't teach speed, but you also cannot teach size. Justin Robinson, 6'4", 220 pounds, out of McDonough, Georgia, a redshirt freshman. Jake, that size is something that even in recruiting we are like, okay, that's different.
Yeah. He's a big old dude and always has been, and not necessarily the fastest guy, as you would imagine with some of these big guys. He's, you know, not going to necessarily burn you like an Arian Smith or a Demetrius Robertson might, but a guy with very solid hands, very capable blocker. And I didn't have the freshman year I think a lot of people expected from him. I don't know that that was necessarily fair given everything that was going on in the passing game. I know that there were some concerns about, you know, would he be satisfied with that role? It sounds like from everything we've heard over the course of spring practice to this point, that he's a guy who's really taken a step forward this year. And I think that that's big for Georgia. It's great to have a big, deep threat down there, a guy who you can get in the end zone, you know, working against those short yardage situations and just get out there and out-muscle some dudes. You know, this is like having another tight end in a lot of respects, but a guy who has a little bit more speed, a little bit more versatility there, comes from a great program at Eagles Landing, 190 in the nation, and a guy that they highly coveted, another Terrence Edwards product as well. So like Jermaine Burton, has had some really solid coaching throughout his career.
One of the things you do as a coach is you tell every one of your players, hey, don't make rash decisions, rash judgments. Be patient, understand that it's a long journey to get where you need to go. Sometimes it's just opportunity. It's like if you get – I used to tell them when I was recruiting at Oklahoma and then George Brett was playing for the Royals then, I said, look, I said, you wouldn't want to go play, if you're that position, you wouldn't want to go sign with the Royals and have to wait in line behind the George Brett. And a lot of times in recruiting, you do the same thing with certain positions. But one thing Kirby does, exact opposite of that, is, hey, come here and compete. You're going to have good competition here. We're going to have good players. But if you're the best guy, you're going to have a chance to win the job. And I think that's the way things have changed as compared to what I was talking about at Oklahoma. You know, guys don't worry about the position. And here's a guy that wanted to come to Georgia. I remember the first time I saw him over here when we were getting ready for a bowl game, and they just played in the state championship, I think. And he was out there, you know, getting his physical and very, very seemed very much at ease out there among our players. And that to me, that's what you're looking for, a guy that wants to get out there and be one of the guys. You know what I mean? He wants to do what's necessary, and he's not sitting around just saying, God, look at these guys out here. I mean, I don't know what I can do. He jumped right in there and looked pretty good. He didn't work out very good the first year as far as getting many opportunities. But I'm telling you what he did do, and that's where I want to get to this point here, is Kirby says, hey, you know, your time is going to come, and when it comes, you got to make it count. And it's come this spring with these injuries. He's gotten more reps with the seconds than the ones because of that. And the one thing I would say from a coaching perspective, a lot of times you play better when you're playing with better players, because nobody's making mental errors on the line, on the blocking. You know, a lot of times the threes will go out there and they'll call a pass and tackle and miss a guy, and you don't even get to throw it. Well, you're out there with better players, and you're going to get better quarterbacking. You're going to get better protection. And he's taking advantage of it. He's a guy with the other 10 players that can jump in there and make something happen, particularly in the red zone. I've seen him be a weapon down there with his ability. I watch him on the scout team do it against our ones the last couple of years. So he's got a role. His role's increased a little bit because of the injuries, and he's taking advantage of it. He's not a, like you say, a guy that's going to run a lot deep routes and beat you time after time. But he can sneaky get by you when you think, hey, this big old boy, he's not good. And then all of a sudden he's running past you. So glad he's here. I'm a lot higher on him than some of these people that seem to think that, you know, the guy needs to transfer. That's what they were talking about last year. I think he'll be good for us.
Those big bodies in the red zone, that's going to be something Georgia needs to replace some of the production that George Pickens had in catching touchdowns, and that could be something that he comes in with. I said a pair of redshirt freshmen. It's actually three. Jake, you had a point?
Well, I was going to say, I think one thing that people often put on, you know, quarterbacks, we hear about them, and, corners as well. Coming from those single-A private ranks, there's a change in the speed of the game. There's no question about that. I think that he's a kid who's had to adjust a little bit to the level of competition. Don't get me wrong, Eagles Landing is one of the premier programs in this state. No question about that in my mind. But he's a kid who I think can get out there and mix it up a little bit. And like Coach said, playing against better competition and with better support staff, probably benefiting Justin Robinson quite a bit.
There are three redshirt freshman receivers. That third one is Ladd McConkey, a 6-foot, 185-pound redshirt freshman from Chatsworth, Georgia.
Oh, Chatsworth, man. Deep, deep place in my heart for Chatsworth. I spent a year of my childhood in Chatsworth, so not a football hotbed over there. North Murray, not exactly churning them out year in and year out, but hey, you could tell how badly the staff wanted this kid. They definitely put it on him pretty hard. Tennessee was involved with Ladd McConkey as well. He had a number of offers. He was one of those guys that really picked up after the early signing period. And I think that, people were impressed with what he could do. He was a guy who played a little bit of everything over there at North Murray, did a little bit of it all for them. But I think comes into Georgia and is, you know, fighting for a role now, trying to find his footing. You've got some similar players, I think, already on the roster and some older guys. Obviously, you got a guy like Don Blaylock ahead of him who's had some game experience and that kind of thing. But Ladd McConkey, a quality depth piece. I don't know if we'll see him make an impact this year, but a guy who I think can is certainly a good teammate, a good guy to have in your locker room, and a guy who's given great looks out there to all of these defensive backs when they're running against the twos and the threes.
Yeah, one of the things about a guy like him is, you know, when he throw the ball to him, it's pretty good chance he's going to catch it. He's sneaky, getting open. He's just a really solid route runner and really good hands. I think one of the things about the spring game, sometimes guys that maybe aren't going to be quite as prevalent in the game in the season sometimes stand out in the spring game. So I would think, if he's running with the threes or with some of the twos and threes, I think he'll catch about 10 passes Saturday. I mean, I really do think he'll. Everybody's going to be saying, who is this guy? But he really is a good player, and I don't know that he's going to have a big role with our team this year, but down the road he's going to be a guy you can count on and give us some depth and be good on special teams. So he's a good guy to have on our team.
Someone asked on the vault over at UGASports.com, Coach, how would you compare him to a guy like Hunter Renfro?
Hey, well, I hope he can play like Hunter Renfro and get the production that Renfro did.
The longevity, too.
I'm just telling you, that guy was golden for Clemson. Similar type body, and, you know, I don't know that want to put that kind of pressure on him and say, you know, he's Julian Edelman type guy, but he really is a, just because you're not 6'2 and 200 pounds doesn't mean you can't be a good receiver. Some of the best receivers I ever coached were, you know, guys that could move around and get open underneath. Troy Brown played for 15 years in NFL, played for me at Marshall. He was like that. And this guy, similar to Renfro in his size, but I haven't seen enough body of work to say that he can be as productive as Renfro. I mean, that'd be good if he's even in his area code. That'll be good.
No question.
I agree. McConkey is a guy that can have a really productive spring game just because there are more passes out there. And these receivers are going to get a lot of play. If you want to have a great spring, you got to work on your curb appeal, right? And so you can call your friends at Aaron Overhead Doors and make sure that your garage door looks stunning from the driveway and the street. If you've got any problems with your garage, because I know I keep my lawnmower inside my garage because I want to keep it away from the weather, right? So that garage door is going up and down. And if something is going wrong with your garage, it's going to make your lawn look bad because you can't cut it. So make sure you've got Aaron Overhead Doors involved so they can help you with all your garage door needs, anything from purchasing a brand new garage door, the motor, or if you need to have them come, just make sure that your opener works from the button in your car, because I never know how to do that. That's not anything within my wheelhouse. I work with words for a living. They don't. They are really good customer service people. And if you tell them that you're a Georgia fan, you get a discount. Even if you're not a Georgia fan, you just have to tell them that. And so make sure you check out Aaron Overhead Doors. Just Google them, read the Google reviews from their company. You'll know you're in the right hands. They cover pretty much anywhere from Athens to Atlanta and anywhere in between and around in North Georgia. And guys, we've got three more receivers to chat about. We go to a pair of true freshmen. Let's start with Adonai Mitchell, 6'4", 190 pounds from Missouri City, Texas, but also played some in Tennessee.
Yeah, Cane Ridge ended up being his kind of home at the end there up in Nashville. And a guy who I think kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people, just not a name that a lot of people knew. Obviously, listen, Lane Kiffin thought that he was a guy who could contribute because he was committed to the Rebels for about 3 months. I really like Adonai Mitchell, 6'3", 190. Shows a great catch radius on his senior film. I think that that's the big takeaway that you can get watching him as a senior. And I, by all reports over the spring, has been one of the breakout players on the offense. And that's big news for Georgia, especially in light of the Pickens news. Adonai Mitchell also, I think a lot of people may forget, an older guy, not exactly an 18-year-old freshman. I believe he's 20, if I'm not mistaken, coming in this year. A little bit older, a little bit more mature.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a guy, a non-traditional age. I think he's probably close to 20, if I'm not mistaken, but a guy who, you know, comes in, brings some maturity to that room. And like I said, that catch radius is what makes Adonai Mitchell dangerous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was fired up about watching him over the Christmas practices to see what he could do, because he came in early, like several of those guys did, but unfortunately he got COVID and didn't get to practice any. So, That was tough, but he's definitely has taken advantage. Another guy of some of these, Burton being out, Pickens has a broken record there, but he has the frame and maybe not quite the speed of those guys, but he's kind of a slinky type runner down the field, and he knows how to use his body. Watching the tape that I've watched him in high school, I haven't seen him live. But I guarantee you that when I heard that we got him, I reached out to Coach Hankton, and he was very, very effusive in his talking about this guy can fit in here because of his toughness too. Because, you know, we got to block. I mean, that's just part of the role for any team that's a balanced football team. You got to be able to block the perimeter because he let a guy run free. And you know? So he'll be a guy that too that's taking advantage, kind of like we talked about Robinson before. He's going to jump in there and look good Saturday. I mean, number five. I mean, he's going to get your attention just looking at him. He's very, very good at using his body and running routes. I'm glad we got him. I like him.
Another true freshman in the class for wide receivers, Jackson Meek, 6'2", 205 pounds, from Phoenix City, Alabama, Central High School.
Yeah, another stellar program over there, Dane. I know that you're very well-versed in Phoenix, Alabama's Central High School. Yeah, committed to Georgia in September of last year. Three-star guy, so not exactly the most heralded. I think a lot of what held him back over the course of his career, though, was injuries. He's a guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries, believe two ACLs, if I'm not mistaken, at least one for sure, and then maybe tweaked his knee his senior year as well. A guy who has had some problems in that regard. You want to see if he can stay healthy, but I'll tell you this, when you turn the tape on Jackson Meeks, you see a guy who makes a lot of really tough catches, a guy who's out there just being able to bang. You know, I love to use that term when you're talking about these bigger guys. They're able to get out there and just out-muscle guys for catches. He makes some spectacular ones. He's a guy that I think could probably surprise some people down the line. I think that he hasn't maybe shown what he could do over the long term. And if he's able to keep his body right, keep healthy, I think that he can be a contributor for this Georgia Bulldogs team.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as big as a guy as Mitchell at this point. Maybe he's listed there, but I'm not being trying to contradict you. I'm just talking about looking at the two on the hoof. Sure. You know, from my perspective, he doesn't look quite as big, and he's, you know, he's behind because of the missing out in high school with the injuries. So I can't really sit here and BS you on this guy. I mean, I'm just going to tell you flat out, I don't know one thing about the guy except what I watched. I mean, and I hadn't had anybody tell me that he's done that much since he's been here. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a whirling dervish when he gets out there, but school's out for me on this guy. I'm sorry.
Well, what I can tell you is that he was coached by the same coach as a coach, Justin Ross and EJ Williams, the Clemson receivers. And that was Jamie DuBose and his crew when they were at Central High School. He's now at Lowndes down in South Georgia. And then his senior year, although the injury did plague him, he got to learn under Patrick Nix, father of Bo Nix. And then Patrick also played at Auburn as well. He's now the head coach at Central High School. So in terms of just having good coaches to learn from and their connections, he's got every chance in the world to succeed, and it obviously got him to Georgia, and his tape was good enough to do that. So, you know, this year, is he going to be a massive impact player? I doubt it. But in the future, I definitely think he has that chance, like you said, Jake.
A guy who I think Georgia fans can root for pretty easily as well. Really was excited that Georgia took a chance on him and, you know, feels like he can compete at this level. We'll see if he can. Like I said, I think that over time, if he's able to stay healthy, his film to me says that he's a guy who can contribute. But like Coach said, school's out on him. I think, though, an easy guy to root for if you're a Georgia fan because of how much it meant to him to be a Georgia Bulldog. And you can better believe that he's going to be out there giving it his all.
Always appreciate Patrick Nix calling that spike play on fourth down against Georgia when he was coaching at Tech. That was good. Spike the ball on fourth down and stop the clock and give the ball back to the Dogs.
You can also believe that Jackson Meeks picking Georgia out of Phoenix City, Alabama is a big deal over there, because that is a city mostly of Alabama fans, but then Auburn fans as well. It's just funny how the state lines really become a line of demarcation, because Columbus is mostly Georgia.
So there's more Alabama than Auburn, really?
Yeah, there are. Really? That, at least in my experience, that was the case.
That really is.
Wow.
I mean, Eddie Lowe, a former Alabama player, was the mayor when I was down there. So, you know.
Oh,
there you go. That's
what you want when you got that mayor on your side, and some of those preachers, too.
One more receiver to talk about. The 10 that we've spoke about previously are the scholarship receivers, the most likely that are on scholarship to make an impact. But there are walk-on guys as well, one of those being Jalen Johnson, who got a decent amount of playing time last year. He's 6'2", a junior from Duluth, Georgia.
Yeah, Peachtree Ridge High School. Been a minute since Georgia had a guy out of Peachtree Ridge. Felt like they were just kind of clicking him off there for a little while, but slowed down a little bit. Out of Peachtree Ridge, first team All-County, All-Region honor senior year, 36 passes, 490 yards, and 2 touchdowns as a senior. A guy who I'm not going to lie to you, surprised the hell out of me last year. When you consider, you know, how many guys are on that scholarship list, to see a walk-on guy out there getting meaningful minutes and contributing in some really, you know, some real game situations, I think that speaks a lot to what coaches think about a guy like Jalen Johnson. Speaks very highly of his work ethic and also his talent level. So, you know, like Coach said on Jackson Meeks, you know, school's kind of out for me on what he's going to be able to do this year. But if he's able to even do what he did last year, I think that that's a huge boost to what Georgia's able to do offensively.
Yeah, he can contribute in a lot of ways. Special teams, get in there and specific plays where you need a guy to do certain thing. He's very good. Sometimes you just tag a play and have a guy's name on it to understand when that play's called, we need this guy in at a certain position. We did that a lot when Chaney was here with some of these receivers that weren't quite as versatile. They just had certain plays that they did better. But I think in this case, watching him on the scout team, this guy gets open. He plays hard every day. I mean, he goes out there and he really does – like to play football, and you can tell a lot about a guy when he's on the scout team. I mean, it's certainly no reward except knowing that you're part of Georgia football, because day in and day out, usually the only time anybody says anything to you is when they chew you out for doing something wrong. But I guarantee you, this guy really helps our football team get ready every week, and he's going to prosper from that. He could end up, you know, it's hard to get a scholarship as a walk-on, but he's very capable of being a scholarship player at a lot of places. And I hope he sticks around here and stays with Georgia. Looks like he's going to, and he's a good team guy. I'm glad he's here.
We wanted to go through this list of wide receivers just to show you what Georgia had and kind of recap of where Georgia goes from here, because receivers are going to be a big part of what we all look at G-Day and who's catching those passes, among many other things. And we'll get to G-Day in a second, but I do want to tell you that if you're coming up to Athens for the G-Day spring game, you got a couple of great options for food. I mean, it's Athens. There's always great options for food. But if you're coming up Highway 15 specifically in Oconee County, you need to go check out Classic City Eats. The new location is open. It's really cool in there. I haven't been in personally, but just seeing Roddy's background that didn't look like it was real with the arcade, he was saying there's a golf simulator there. We got to see the bar behind him in last week's show, which you can find on this YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe if you will. Go check out Classic City Eats and their great menu. You know the fried chicken is always going to be stellar. They're great supporters of UGASports.com. They give us a house for this podcast when we can do it live in person, and hopefully that can happen here in the next few months, that we can all gather together again and do a show there. And as you're gathering back with your friends and family, make sure you go give Classic City Eats one of your meal opportunities. Jake, I know you've had plenty of things off of their menu, but they're getting new things out there, so you got to go try out those new things too.
No question about it, man. I'm excited for the next time I can get out there and see Josh and Amy.
And if
you want it to be successful for Josh and Amy, because they're so such good people, and they deserve everybody's support. I mean, they really have a lot of pride in what they put out, the food they put out, and I think, to me, there's going to be a lot of catering opportunities for them, because people like to go to the lake and they're riding right down through there, stop in at Classic City Eats and pick up something to go for the weekend, and they can make it happen for you. So I'm imploring you, I'm asking you, please go by there and give them a shot. And once you do that, you'll be a regular customer. I'm for sure you'll love it.
Yeah, NFL draft.
If you're coming from the West Side or coming from Atlanta, make sure you go check out our friends at Academia Brewing Company, a big space out there that you do not want to miss out on. I love the big screen TVs and the projectors they have. You can try just many different kinds of beer. You see them brewing it behind you when you're there, but you can spread out no matter the size of your party. Eat together. The food there is tremendous. Go check out Academia Brewing Company on Atlanta Highway. Coach, I'm just going to ask you a very simple question.
I want to ask this first here, because I'm just been sitting here listening to us talk and listening to Jake and listening to myself. And if you just cut this on and didn't know anything about Georgia and listen to it, you say, holy moly, boy, Georgia stacked at receiver, aren't they? But listen, we do have potential. There is no question about it. But realistically, the top four guys we're talking about all have something wrong with them going into, and hopefully they're going to be okay. Nothing that
injuries, specifically you're saying injuries. I want to be sure that we're saying, when you're saying something wrong with them, that is injuries.
I mean, you know, they're going to have to recover and be ready, and hopefully everything's great there. So if that happens, then we're going to be set there. You know what I mean? But we got to have these guys. It's hard to overcome, you know, of all the guys on our offense, maybe next to JT Daniels, losing Pickens is, you know, catastrophic in a lot of ways, but it's football. That's what happens. But there can be a really good mix with these tight ends, with these receivers and these running backs, that our offense can be really good this year. So, but I think temper this talk that I just gave about these receivers a little bit with the realism here, that things have got to go the right way on the rehab and we should be okay.
The question I wanted to ask, a very simple one: what are you looking for at G-Day when you watch that game? Where are your eyes going to be trained?
I'm just hoping that 0-0 is up there and nobody gets hurt, because you're really the hay's in the barn when you get to G-Day. I mean, you're going to get chance to see some of these guys in front of people and all that, but yeah, most of the hard work's been on, and you know, the guys are going to play about a half of what they've played in every scrimmage, you know what I mean, because you're going to have a running clock probably, and you're not going to run maybe 75 plays, maybe 80, I don't know, but it's just a good time for kids to be out there and see the fans and experience you know, the stadium and all that. But from what I'm looking for is get through the game and be injury free. That's what I want.
I'm looking forward to seeing the offensive line personally. I'm just seeing who they march out there, how the rotations go, who's in and out first and second. I think that that's all going to be very interesting for everybody, especially moving into the summer and fall, because you don't have a lot of solidity there. You don't feel, in terms of, you know, us, maybe the coaching staff does feel like they know what they've got up there, but I'm really intrigued to see how they kind of handle that rotation. And then obviously the defensive backs, is Amir Speed, you know, the guy that they need up there. Keely Ringo, this will be a good opportunity to see him for the first time. And then obviously also you've got Nylon Green. How does he factor in?
Well, I'm going to save you some time. You don't even need to go to the game. It's going to be trusted left tackle. It's going to be Salyer, maybe a little bit in there at left guard, but mostly Schaefer. Then we're going to see Erickson, Ratledge, and then right tackle McClendon on the second team. You're going to have Mims at left tackle. You're going to have blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to tell you. Then those corner, you're going to have Mims at left tackle. You're going to have Broderick Jones at right tackle. You're going to have Van Pran at center. Clay Webb, a left guard, and I'm not sure who'll be the right guard there. But watch this team, the way they play, the effort that they have, the camaraderie they have. This team's got that good mojo about it. These kids like each other. They like to play. They're going to be competitive as heck against each other out there, because they want to kick each other's butt. But collectively, if you just think about it and go to the game with a glasses half full type attitude, there's a lot to be said about this football team. A really good kicking game, excellent coaching, really good talent. And I just think we're in good shape here. I really do.
I want to tell you about YourPie real fast. And the reason I want to do that is because I'm looking at their map on their website right now. And, you know, we think that YourPie, Athens, Drew and Natalie French started it here. It's really big in Georgia. But, man, I'm looking at their location in Indio, California, in Flagstaff, Arizona. They're out in Montana. They're in Colorado, in Thornton, just outside of Denver, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas. Pretty much I'm saying if you want YourPie, you need to go check out the map and see which one is closest to you. Jake, I know that Roddy was saying last week that one of their new pies is right up your alley, and it's the barbecue chicken bacon ranch. So if you haven't had that yet, you need to find your way out to either the west side in Athens or Bethlehem. I know there's a newer location all around Atlanta, all around North Georgia. Go check out YourPie and support them. They've been longtime supporters of UGASports.com.
All right. We got some questions. We're going to rapid fire these. Coach, I'm going to throw these to you real quick. Dane, chime in if you got something. I'll throw it in as well. I like this one just because it's a real simple one. Kind of straight off the gate. Joe Jadog on the vault at UGA Sports just says, who's the player you're most looking forward to seeing on Saturday?
How about me?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to say Carson Beck.
Okay. Yeah. Carson's made some big strides this this spring, by all accounts. I like that pick. I'm going to go with Keely Ringo. I think that I'm really excited to see him just get out there and play some football in a Georgia uniform.
I don't have an answer for that. I'm just glad they're all out there and practicing. I can't really it's just good that they're playing ball, you know what I mean? So I don't really have anybody I want to see specifically.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Dane, this one for you, actually. Matthew McCarty wants to know, do you feel better about JT Daniels after his film in 20 than you did to his film leading up to the past season, especially regarding turnover-worthy plays?
Absolutely. And when JT got the job at Georgia, I thought that there were a lot of reasons to have reservations, and that's just because he threw too many interceptions and plays that could have been interceptions at USC. I was concerned with his knee that he wouldn't be able to move around, and you know, he's a bit of a gunslinger, that he would just kind of toss the ball up and that would result in more turnovers. I knew the arm strength was there. I was a bit worried on accuracy. But, you know, when you play with guys like George Pickens and those receivers and you get behind Georgia's offensive line, it all gelled together. And that's not saying that he's only better because of that cast. He's better because he's better, too. He worked really hard to get to that point, and he's earned his spot as Georgia's starter. So, yeah, I was very critical of him at the time. He proved me wrong, and I'm happy to say that because I think that he's got a really bright future ahead of him, and that starts this weekend, but really starts in the fall.
Yeah, I'd be for JT missing the bus Saturday. I mean, you got to run your offense and all that, but we need to see what number two and three can do, I think. And I could see him playing limited roles. You never know, though. I mean, I don't know how Todd and Kirby are going to approach it, but just like – I know what N'Kobe Dean can do. You know, he probably could be doing a little bit more, but there's no need for him to go out there. I mean, he's rehabbing, and we've had Daniels go through the whole spring. So hopefully he'll play a little bit, but I'm not too fired up about him playing much Saturday. Are you guys?
I don't.
If anybody touches him, go ahead and kick him out of the stadium.
Just let him sleep in. Don't worry about it. Let him go watch it with a cold beverage downtown.
Well, you can't play scared, that's for sure. But I mean, it should be like an exhibition game with Tom Brady. You know, they won the first series and then get out of there.
This one for Coach Funro season over on the board wants to know. He said, with the way the game has evolved, in order of importance, what would you say are some of the traits that a wide receiver needs to have to be elite in today's style of play? Examples, elite speed, route running, hands, catch radius, blocker. What do you think are those one and two most important things in today's style of game to be an elite receiver in today, Coach?
Well, you always look for size just because of the, being able to separate in the jump balls, but you know, as far as the number one ingredient is speed. I mean, if you got speed, you got a chance in any position, but, and then you've got to be able to catch the ball when it's there. So I would say your hands are really critical there. Toughness in not only includes blocking, but showing ability to escape and get off the line of scrimmage, because you got to hand fight and do things. So I would just say speed and quickness and ball, you know, radius is good, but just able to use your hands effectively. Route running is something that can be acquired by anybody with limited ability. I mean, you go back to, not saying to Raymond Berry, but Raymond Berry made his living running precise routes. So if you've got the ability to have the speed and quickness and you can run good routes on top of it, very difficult to cover.
And when it all really comes together is when the cerebral part of the game, when that player that has those things can then identify the defenses and then break that down to someone else on the sideline to help the team like that. I've been reading a lot of NFL draft scout breakdowns, and I saw that Bruce Feldman had one with Devontae Smith that was saying the second he got to the sideline, he was telling everyone what needs to be done based on what he just saw. That's a different level than what a lot of receivers have.
Exactly. And I think fans don't realize that the guys on the sideline, the position guys, that's their job, not just to watch the game, but watch your position. So when you do get a chance to go in there, you're not going to be throttled by a surprise. You know what that guy's technique's playing on you, what he's trying to do, and is he better than what you thought on tape and all that. So that's why when you see groups on the sideline, when they after each change of possession, the receivers are together and they're talking about stuff. They're talking about what they can do, how they can get open. Is this guy better? And that's a good point you brought up there. I think the players really have a good feel for watching the other guys and can help you during the course of the game.
All right. One last one here from Clock 11. This one for me, since I've given both of you already, I fed you. He says, recruiting momentum seems to have taken off a little earlier in this cycle than past years. Is that due to a combination of factors, or can you point to something specific, such as an addition like Will Muschamp? I do think that you can point to an addition like Will Muschamp, but it's a combination of factors. Personally, I think guys want to lock spots in. They want to lock them in before these official visits get started, for sure, because they want to know that they got a home. And additionally, I think the biggest thing is a lot of these guys are sick as hell of being recruited, because coaches are bugging them all the time. With them not being able to be on campus, it's every day they're getting calls. Every day they're getting Zooms. They're getting texts. They're getting inundated. A lot of kids are done with it. They've had a lot more contact with guys than they have in the past. I think that you'll see a lot of action over the course of the summer, not only in terms of the visits that happen, but I think you'll see a lot of guys go ahead and lock their spots up prior to the season, just because they feel like they've got everything they need once they get a visit.
Really good point. And just like June's a really good month for women and men to get married, it's going to be a good month for kids to go on and sign and commit, because they're going to make those official visits. They've been waiting for it for 2 years now. They're going to go to one or two places, and then if that's the place they really want to go to, they're going to jump on it really quick. That's just going to solidify it, because they know a lot about these places because of these Zoom meetings, but they haven't been in person. And I think that's the one thing that I've talked about, that Kirby has an edge on anybody, is those in-home visits. Those are still not going to be able to go. We're not going to be able to go in-home with anybody, but they're going to be here with us. And June's going to be busting out all over here in Athens.
Yeah, you got to feel good with Will Muschamp walking around your field too. I mean, in addition to some strong recruiters there already, you bring in a guy like that, it does nothing but bolster your stock with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, people ask me about that. You know, I've had some people call me and ask me. And it's just the fact that as a parent, you're entrusting your son to the coach, but you're also – have a comparison there of a guy that you really liked at another school that you were considering sending your son there because that guy was around him and was going to be the man in charge of him. But now he's at that other school on top of the fact of the place that you liked. So that just solidifies it in the case of maybe that kid from North Carolina or whoever it might be. You know what I'm saying? It's just the fact that, as we've talked about on this podcast over and over, it's hard to say no to these guys. It's hard to say no. As much as you want to say yes to Kirby, it's hard to say no to Mullen or Saban or whoever it might be. But now you don't have to say no to Will Muschamp. He's right there with us too. So that's going to be a big plus.
Absolutely.
Coach, I've got one more question I want to ask you, and it's brought to you by DR Construction and Maintenance, our friend Ronnie Brown down in South Georgia.
Don't be a good one, then. It was from Ronnie. He's
yeah.
This one we got.
Ronnie didn't tell me to ask it, but I want people to know that in Liberty County, Long County, Bryan County, if you need construction advice or just something to be done around your property, check them out. Ronnie Brown, DR Construction and Maintenance.
You know, the one thing about him that I feel like that I never had to have a chance to say on it, but if somebody's going to come work on your house, you want somebody that's going to do the job and you feel good about it. I mean, regardless of what it costs, I mean, people try to cut corners and all, you know, if Ronnie Brown's going to come in there, he's going to make it right. I mean, he's a damn good dog and he's going to do the job for you. And I knew about Ronnie for a long time, just on Facebook through Roddy, you know. I mean, he would always ask me these questions, and Roddy would ask me to, I couldn't really answer them. I'd get Roddy, but he's just a genuine guy. I mean, give him some work there and let him help you out.
Coach, one of the more unique spring practices that Georgia's ever had was when the Olympics were in town and Sanford Stadium was unavailable. So I just wanted to ask your memories of that season of trying to get Georgia ready to play football while the whole state is focused on the Olympics. The whole world was focused on the Olympics.
You know, that's funny that you asked me that, because this young lady from the Red and Black supposedly doing a story on our spring game when we had to play at over at Clark Central. And instead of at the stadium, because the hedges were removed and they didn't want to down there messing up. We practiced a little bit down there, but I just never will forget one of the things that we had these buses there, and we had some recruits in, and I was in the weight room talking to some, and I looked down and the buses were getting ready to roll. And, I thought they started to move, and I came running out there and I said, "What are you doing? You're leaving the head coach here." And he said, "Well, aren't you going to ride with the policeman?" That's what Coach Goff did. I guess that's the way he rode with the police or sometimes. So I said, "Well, I'll ride with him, but from now on, I'm going to ride on the bus." But it was kind of funny. I was going to miss the bus to the spring game. But really, it was a fun game. You know, we had the good game. Kirby got an interception there for a touchdown.
He says he doesn't remember that, by the way.
I think it was between him and Mike Bobo. I mean, the night before, Bobo said, "I'm going to hit you and let you get a touchdown." But he caught one. You know, Mike Ussery had a real good game as a quarterback for us. And it was fun. I mean, we had that Clark Central. That was sold out. I mean, 12,000 people there. It was fun. But it was kind of a makeshift game. But, you know, it was very competitive.
Well, we will chat with you all next week here on UGA Sports Live with our G-Day reactions and then anything from the recruiting trail or any scoop that we get. Remember, you can go to ugasports.com and sign up if you're a new subscriber. 50% off. That offer is valid until April 18th. That promo code Georgia50, GEORGIA50. You want to be a part of what we're doing over at ugasports.com. No one around breaks as much news as we do, has the analysis that we do, and the breadth of talent on the team that we have. That's one of the reasons that I work here, because I looked around and I was like, okay, that team, like, everyone has their specialty, and that's what really appealed to me. And then Coach Don and gave me his seal of approval after a while. It took about a year, didn't it, Coach?
No, I've always thought you had what it takes. And you younger guys take coaching. Though one of the things I try to do is just give you some ideas, some help. But, you know, I'm over the hill. I ain't got any way I can change. But I think you guys do a terrific job presenting everything. And I enjoy being on here and letting you bust me up.
We enjoy that too, all of it. Thanks, Athens Ford, Your Pie, DR Construction and Maintenance, Academia Brewing Company, Classic City Eats, and Aaron Overhead Doors. For head coach Jim Donnan and Jake Roos, I am Dane Young. Thank you for listening to UGA Sports Live.